at camp, you need to know the kids take camp very seriously, have a lot of fun, and I listen to the reports from the kids and all about the food and the fun and whatever, but you need to know that these kids were serious with God. When it was time to deal with God, and the format that we have with the camp is that we minister, we have a lesson given, and then they break up in little groups, and we have leaders for each of the groups, and your kids get together with their age groups in a small group, and that's when they apply the lesson. And they repent, they deal with the issues that are there, and then we take communion. So that becomes a time when they personally encounter God and the change comes within them. So it's not just, they're not just talked at. Your kids really deal with God and they encounter Him and change comes. And I'd like, first of all, to give honor to the leaders that were the group leaders. I'd like you to stand. You need to know these were behind the scene workers. They worked with your kids. They prayed with them. They interceded for them. And I just want to thank them for their labor of love. Beth, stand up, Beth. You're one of them. Thank you. They were there to minister to your children and hear their hearts and follow through with them. The camp would be the same. This is not just a camp, a summer camp where your kids go away and just have fun. They encounter God. And they come to encounter God. And they've asked me to teach them about the Lord. They want to know. They're hungry for God. And so the skits were not just a fun time. It was a rehearsing of the things they had learned and the principles that they had gotten. And it was a way for us to see what was not just important to them, but what they began to express in the skits. And the first one we're going to have tonight is, you remember this morning? You do remember this morning. What did we talk about? Yes, hearing from the Lord. Do you remember the traps? Shake your head. Yes. What were the traps? Do you remember what they were? That was what they all remembered, itching ears. So our skit tonight is about itching ears. Now, what about itching ears? Before they come up and do the skit, what did we learn about itching ears? What does that mean?
Hear what you
want to hear. And so tonight, that's the first skit. Are they the actors getting together? Before we go to the next, to get back to them, Kathy Ott did an excellent lesson on relationships and about preparing them to face reality regarding dating and what statistics were and God's perspective, and it was excellent. And so that was about the relationships of wanting to be godly in our relationships, and yet in the world system we're attracted by the outward, and it was an excellent. And I understand in the testimony several reported that that had been ministered to him, and that was one of the skits of what we look at in the natural are really not the internal issues, and so they displayed what not to be, and so that was that lesson. Okay, one of the lessons, I'm going to introduce it, and I'm going to speak about this tonight. One of the lessons that I ministered on was the fool and the wise man, and we're going to look at that tonight, and so this is their take on part of that lesson. Okay, and the last one of the topics that was brought up is that those of us that were older, when you choose to, in Galatians it says, what you sow you'll reap. And as we have, in our age, sown things that we adults were saying to the kids, we have big trees here, and you guys have little bushes, and if you deal with the little bushes, you're not going to have the big trees. And so that was one of our principles, is that we're here to help you not develop trees. And I think I said one night, I have trees with birds in them, and am shade to a lot of people because my trees are really big, and I'm here to deal with your little sprouts that are just beginning so you don't have the trees. And that was really what the leadership was trying to say, is we're here to prevent you from developing, because we have to undo a lot where you have just little things to undo. So this is the principle of this next skit. They understand, and I'm asking you adults, on hearing God. It's an issue we all have, and as adults we have the same thing. And your kids need your help in walking this out in their own lives. They want to. They want to do the right thing. And I love your kids. Can you put it on this side just because it's easy for me? Let me get over here. They want to do the right thing. And so, parents, I'm asking your help that, thank you, that you help them walk this through in their life and situations. Because it's easy to act out our itching ears, but the truth is when we actually are living in it, it's tough to hear what God's saying. And the flesh always doesn't always say, oh, thank you, Jesus. It will fight it, get upset about it. And we're asking God to help us and teach us how to walk it through. So I'm asking the parents that you help us. And what I want to talk about tonight is one thing we covered in camp is the difference between fool, being a fool, and wise. And I want you to know this, parents, because your kids got the principle and lesson, and I want you to know what they're learning so that you can support it and walk it out with them. So we're going to look at this tonight from the biblical standpoint, and you know me, it all is based on what God considers a fool and what God considers a wise. Thank you, a wise man. Can you get that closer, just so I don't have to walk or get this closer, one of the two, whatever easier. And so I want to look at the biblical understanding of fool and wise. And the definition of what Scripture says. We went in detail at camp. In fact, the kids actually looked at all the, thank you, different scriptures. But we're going to look at some tonight and then look at God's definition. The first one I want to look at is Proverbs 22:15. Proverbs 22:15. And my goal here is that the parents have the same understanding the kids do and what they received at camp, and that you follow through and follow up on it. In Proverbs 22:15, it says what? Foolishness is bound up, I have amplified, in the heart of a child. How are we delivered from foolishness? Who said beatings? Correction. Now, what we have to face, you and I have to face, and as an adult, I have to face, that my mom and dad were godly people, and I got correction, but a lot of times I didn't get biblical correction. Okay? And the difference is, in biblical correction, you bring restoration to God. And so when I do a foolish thing, there's something I do in sin, I repent, I get prayed for, I get healed, and I'm restored back in relationship with you and with God. And with my parents, a lot of times I got restored to them, but I didn't with God. I didn't know that He forgave me also. Do you understand? And biblically, that's a part of it. So it says to me as an adult, I'm what? A fool. There's still foolishness in my heart because I didn't get biblical correction. I got spanked, but I don't know about you. A lot of spanking makes us angry and resentful. It didn't change us. It made us angry. We resented it. We saw our parents as unjust, not righteous, and we weren't changed by it. Biblical correction changes your heart. You not only repent, but you pray for that thing that you were unwise in, and that's the change that happens. Only God can do that. It doesn't come just by spanking someone. So you and I know that's one reason why abuse can come in, because we think we can beat it out of them. You don't, according to Scripture, then God would beat us if that brought change. I don't see that in Scripture. How does change come according to the Word of God? Through repentance, Calvary, first Adam dying and coming into the new. That's how change comes. So I want correction to be godly with my children. I want the change to happen internally, not just behavior modification where they're afraid to do it again because they're going to get spanked. That's the difference. And so I recognize as an adult, I didn't get this in my life. So that means I'm what? A fool. Now that's hard to, you know, I've got a page, two PhDs, that's hard to face. According to Bible, God sees me differently than the world does. The world sees me pretty smart. I got two PhDs. Hey, she's a smart person. How does God see me? As a fool. That I need correction, but I need godly correction. Do you see the difference? Parents? Because a lot of times just yelling at them isn't going to change their heart. It's going to cause resentment, bitterness to them, bitterness to you. And it makes them afraid of you instead of love you. My mom and dad wrote a book, Spank Me If You Love Me. Because they discovered that when you are truly trained godly, you want the correction. You look for it. You're glad for it. And I'm hearing it from those of us that have had it. We don't like correction, but we see it changes us. And so we say, God, do this again. I want to be changed. I want more of this. As much as we hate it, we love the change that comes. It isn't punitive. A lot of what I received was punitive. All right, so the first point we have to recognize, and you as parents have to recognize that you can be foolish in what you do with your children if you're not bringing them godly correction. It isn't bringing the foolishness out of their heart. And I had to go back to my children and repent and say, there was a lot of times I corrected you and I just did it out of what I thought was right and moral and the right thing to do, and it would change it and work for my parents, work for me, so bless God, it'll work for you. But I didn't change your heart. And I repent to you, and I'm asking God to teach me how to bring godly correction to you where there's a change of heart. Do you understand the difference, number one? Yes or no? Okay? Because that's where we start. So we have to first admit, because we're going to be dealing tonight with ourselves and repenting, and those of you that are here with families, a chance to repent to your children. Because you need to take responsibility before God and say to them, you know, my heart was right in disciplining you, but I recognize tonight that a lot of times I was not godly in what I did. And do you think your kids don't know that? Your kids know that, and your kids are waiting for you to truly represent God to them. Okay, let's look at Proverbs 12:15. Proverbs 12:15. This is what we had with Rebecca. The fool, the way of a fool is what? Right in his own eyes. He who listens to counsel is wise. So the fool thinks he's right. And so that's number one principle that I see with a fool. A foolish person thinks they're right. And you need to know how many times in my life I've been a fool because I would have, you know, sworn in the Bible I was right and that other person was wrong. And like Rebecca, stubborn about it, didn't care what anyone else said, I was right. They were wrong. And the only way I came to know the truth was how? Through repentance. And God began to show me I wasn't right. I didn't call that a fool. I thought I was pretty smart because I was right. But God's standard and God's position was that I was a fool. Let's look at 26:12. Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? More hope for a fool than for him. Same thing as this. It has to do with he thinks he's smart. He's wise. How many times do you kids think you're smarter than your parents? Your parents are all fogies and they don't know, you know, what's really happening. Yeah. Yeah. What does that make you? That doesn't mean your parents are right also, but when you take that position and aren't open for the Lord to correct you, you're a fool. All right, let's look at 18:2. Proverbs 18:2. A fool finds no pleasure in understanding, but what does he delight in doing? Airing his own viewpoints, his own opinions, which means we're not giving the word of the Lord. We're right. We can even do it, parents, in our own translation of Scripture instead of what God's revealing and what we think it says in that being a fool. Okay, that was 18:2. That's good. 28:26. What does it say? He who trusts in himself is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom is kept safe. So we trust ourselves. Trust our own opinion, our own views, our own values, what we think is going on. We trust ourselves. We trust our own mind, opinions. It's similar to that. Okay? I like this next one. Proverbs 19:3. I hear this a lot in counseling and dealing with people. 19:3. I'm going to say it first in the Amplified, and then I'll look to see what your translation says. The foolishness of man subverts his own way, ruins his affairs. Then in his heart he resents and frets against God. In other words, the foolish man makes a mess of something. He gets involved in something, it doesn't go right, and he blames God. That's a fool. And I see it as sometimes we don't blame God, we blame others. It wasn't me. If you hadn't done this and this, I wouldn't have done that. If you hadn't done this and this, I wouldn't have done what I did. That's a fool. What did it say in yours? What verse was that? 3. Same thing. Okay, same thing. All right. By definition, God's idea, it's a relationship term. God considers... His definition of a fool is someone who does not, number one, ask God into the situation. That's number one. Number two, when he asks God in the situation, he doesn't ask what God thinks about the situation. You see the difference of the two? One is I'm asking God into it, but then I do my own thing. All right? The second part is when I'm in and saying, God, help me. Not only help me, but help me understand. What am I to do next? That's number two. It's actually asking for his wisdom. How does he see it? That's why it's a relationship term. And God sees anyone that doesn't invite him into a situation a fool. I don't know how you were raised, but I wasn't raised to bring God into every situation. So I was raised to be a fool. And how many of you kids, when you go to school, do you ask God into your homework? Do you ask God into the things you're doing? If you don't, you're a fool. That's as simple as it is. Okay? Another definition of a fool is that his will is too hard or too strong. He's stubborn. Any of you kids ever been stubborn and willful? Another thing, and this is the bottom line for me, it's want of mental sanity. And the bottom line is, God says to the fool, you're insane. You don't have the mental ability to judge and evaluate. So, what does that mean? My condition is being raised, not disciplined. I'm mentally ill. My mind has to be renewed. See, you're looking at me so funny, but you are too. Your natural mind, God considers as mentally ill. See, we think it's the schizophrenics in the mental hospitals. Every human being that does not have the mind of Christ, God considers mentally ill. Your mind is at enmity with God. Doesn't Scripture say, well, what does that mean? That means you don't think straight, you don't think right, you don't have common sense, and yet we pride ourselves that we do have common sense and that we do know how to handle situations. That makes us a fool. So our standard basis of operation is, I liked what Bill said in his, I watched the tape on the testimonies, and he gets up every day and says, I'm a fool. First Adam is a fool. That's our condition. And I'm mentally ill. In other words, I don't know how. If you don't face the fact that you're mentally ill, you will use your natural mind to reason and think things out, and God says you're a fool. You will not ask me into situations. You won't look for my help because you think you can do it. You think you're smart enough and wise enough. And that's a trap for people that have pretty good IQs. But it's a natural mind, and God says, I don't care how your IQ is, you're still insane from my value and my standpoint. I'm coming back to the biblical viewpoint, and I want to look at Matthew. Matthew. We looked at this scripture a lot of years at camp. Matthew 7. Matthew 7 starts with verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. Rains came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is what? Okay, you've heard God's word tonight. He's told you his standard and how he sees things. And if you don't put them into practice, he's saying to you what? You're a fool. You have a choice. You can build, and then what happens to the fool? Rain comes. You're heading for a crash. When Jesus finished, they were amazed at his teaching. It's really quite simple. I don't need to prolong it tonight and look at other scriptures. It's the basis is there. And the Lord's saying is, how do you want to build your house? It's not enough to hear the word. We've heard about hearing from God this morning. It's not enough to hear it. God wants us to put it into practice. He wants us to not just talk about itching ears and learn how to hear God, but put it into practice and walk it out. It's not enough for me to say, okay, I see that I'm a fool. What do I do about it? Lord, show me when. Show me where I don't depend on you. I give you the right this week as I'm walking about my day and my week and I'm looking at school and things I have to do that I forget to invite you in. I'm a fool. Help me put it into practice. And it's your choice. And God makes it clear. What do you want to build on? It's your choice. And I'm challenging parents that, you know, your kids have been challenged and they have said, I want to build my house on the rock. I want to walk this out. You've got to help them. But you also have to admit where you're a fool and where you have failed and where you're mentally ill. Taking God's standard. This is God's viewpoint. It isn't mine. It's God's. And he's saying, I want you to have my wisdom. First Adam is stupid, foolish. Second Adam isn't. So that means we need to repent and say, Lord, I need my... We talk about our minds being renewed. Why do I not minds being renewed if they're so healthy? If they're so okay, why does Scripture say it needs to be renewed and changed? Because it isn't healthy. It's that enmity with God. It's all of us. This isn't... He's not picking on one or the other or the young kids and us adults. He's going after us all. I'm wanting to deal with this so that I deal effectively, not only with my kids, but anyone I minister to. I want to be godly correction. I want to change them to where they have a change of heart. And I want the correction to move them into relationship with the Lord. All right, we're going to have a time. Those of you that are in families, I would like you to get into families and pray however the Spirit leads you to pray. And those of you that are not in families or don't have families, we'll pray as a group together. So the families that are here together, do you understand what you're praying with one another about? Just go and however the Spirit leads you as a family to pray about this whole thing of being foolish and wise. All right? So get your families. I see your families here. If you all want to gather there, I know, Jonathan, your family's here. So those that have families, get up and move your family so I know what's left. Whoever's left will come up in the front and we'll pray together. David, I want you to come and help me pray for those that aren't families. Michelle? So whoever has a family that's here, go in your families. And who isn't in a family, we need to come together. So if there's whoever is left, stand up and come in the front and we'll pray with you. Everyone's in a family? Everybody's in a family. Ron's not in a family? Oh, Mark? Come on, Mark. Come up with David. Anyone that's not in a family, come up here. Okay, so your families, if you have time, just do your family thing. Get together and pray as a family. Okay, and you guys, so there's room over there. You guys can go over where there's not a family. Everyone else is a family that's here. Jeannie, you got a family? No? Okay, go with the group. Okay. Kathy, you have a family?
Well, I don't know.
Doesn't know. Well, I don't want to be on.